In the story of the fight for women's suffrage, there were many turning points. Of course, there were turning points for our country, for individual states, which often went first in granting women the right to vote, for communities. But I'm really thinking about the individual turning points, especially for each of the women involved. Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Carrie Chapman Catt, so many others. At some point, each of them had to make the decision to fight for what was right. She had to leave her old complacency behind. And at some point, she couldn't turn back. There was a turning point for Alice Paul when she and her group of suffragists were the first ever to picket the White House in January 1917 as they sought President Woodrow Wilson's support for the 19th Amendment. There was a turning point for President Wilson when he could no longer ignore those protests in front of the White House and the impact, the positive impact women were having on the war effort. And so eventually he too supported a constitutional amendment. There was the turning point for Fannie Lou Hamer when she agreed to go to the courthouse to register to vote in 1962 in Mississippi. Her life was never the same after that. And there was a turning point for Tennessee State Representative Harry Byrne. Once the constitutional amendment had passed both the Senate and the House, 36 state legislatures still needed to approve it, to ratify it. By the summer of 1920, things were getting a little tight. 35 state legislatures had approved the amendment, 7 states had rejected or were about to reject it, and Tennessee was likely one of those going to reject the amendment as well. Now, Representative Harry Byrne supported the anti-suffragist vote, and he voted twice, in fact, in the Tennessee legislature against ratifying the amendment. Both times, the Tennessee vote tied. So the amendment was brought up one final time for a third vote. But this time, something happened. Harry Byrne switched his vote from nay to aye. You see, he had received a letter from his mother, a hard-working widow who supported the women's right to vote and disliked the bitterness of the opposition. The letter told her son to be a good boy and help Mrs. Catt put the rat in ratification. And so he did. It's nice to know we still can have some influence in our children's lives. Maybe more then, when they're 20s than now. But in any event, Harry Byrne faced this turning point. He faced it head on, and he made his decision, and he couldn't turn back. Not when he was yelled at, not when he was accused of being bribed. No, he had made no mistake. He had voted for the amendment. And so Tennessee voted yes and was the 36th state to ratify the amendment. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading today presents us with several turning points for the average person, people like you and me, and even Harry Byrne. But I'm going to focus on these individual turning points for those who want to follow Jesus. So in the gospel reading, which I just read, there were three would-be followers who talked to Jesus and engage with him. But they're less than resolute, less than committed in what they will do to follow Jesus, or what they know even about following him. And so perhaps they sound a bit like you and me. So first one says, "I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus." Well, it sounds good, but Jesus thinks this person's a little too quick to commit. And he responds that things aren't so easy when you follow Jesus. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus doesn't think this person really understands the extent of physical and cultural dislocation that comes with following Jesus. So a second person comes along. Jesus encourages this person to follow him. And Jesus gets an excuse. "Let me go bury my father." Now, this isn't thought to be about an actual burial, but about tending to an elder parent, so this would-be follower puts Jesus off for a while. And Jesus doesn't accept this excuse and retorts that the dead should bury the dead. Well, now, what he's really saying is that only the spiritually dead, those who are not following Jesus, should be the ones to take care of earthly things like burials. They are the ones who can choose, who do choose, the earthly over their relationship with Jesus. By contrast, the spiritually alive are the ones who prioritize their relationship to Jesus and their commitment to Jesus above all. Well, if this retort of Jesus isn't bad enough, there's one more exchange in which the would-be follower says, "I will follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my family." Jesus doesn't accept this excuse either and tells this person that no one plows a field by walking forward with the plow while also looking backward. That's a recipe for a meandering furrow. There can't be any turning back once you've decided to follow Jesus, nor even apparently looking back. So what we might think is these reasonable requests to live our lives the way we always have, while also following Jesus, turns out they're not reasonable requests as far as Jesus is concerned. They are excuses. Jesus asks this of us, that our commitment to Jesus is our highest priority, even when there is hardship and social dislocation, and even when earthly concerns try to distract us. And he asks for forward motion only and always as we follow the path of Jesus. There should be no turning back or looking back once we choose the way of Jesus. I encourage you to take home your bulletins today. Look over the readings, but especially look at the Marion Wright Edelman words again. Yes, what they say relates to children, but the language is a Jesus-worthy call to serve all in need, those in poverty, those without access to health care, those facing hunger and homelessness, those without good educational opportunities, and those facing gun violence. Her language is full of potential turning points for you and for me. And you just said it out loud. I care and I will stand with others. That's what you just said. I heard it, your neighbors heard it in your pew. And you know what? There's no turning back. There's no turning back from words like these. So how will you respond? How will you live them out when you say, I care and am willing to stand with others? Will you commit yourself to the way of Jesus, forgoing creature comforts and easy relationships, turning down earthly commitments and distractions for this singular divine one? Will you look only to serve Jesus and love God and your neighbor without turning back? Others have done this for us. You know this. For our forebears, those in the women's rights movement, the civil rights movement, the gay rights movement, and on and on and on. It is our turn now to serve those who need us, who will come after us, and to do it in Jesus' name. Face this turning point and walk on with Jesus. Amen.